Welcome to Marriage and Money, a conversational podcast about personal financial topics aimed at improving conversations about money in your marriage so you can reach your dreams together. This is a weekly discussion brought to you by a seemingly financially incompatible couple bonded by the legal contract of marriage. My name is Heather, your favorite spender, and I'm joined by the saver who gets 100% in my book, David.
Oh, 100%. That sounds like an A. And what's this book? What's going on here? Why are you kicking this off today?
What can you tell us?
Going on?
I know. So today, or this is our 100th episode. So I thought, you know, let's mix it up. It's been 100 times of doing the exact same thing. So, or I guess 99. So why not let the 100th be a little different?
Got it. Okay. So I guess it's backwards day or a reverse day here on the podcast, and you're taking the lead. Okay. I can follow that.
We've got a great show for you today.
Wow. You sound just like me.
Incredible show. Today, we're going to have a little fun today, like we mentioned. We're going to be celebrating our 100th episode. And, you know, we often talk about this whole spender versus saver concept. So we thought, let's dig in a little deeper there and have a little fun with that topic.
Awesome. I like that. I like that very much. And I don't know, I'm really excited that we have made it to the 100th episode.
Cue the noisemaker right there, the celebratory cheering.
Oh my gosh, that is, I don't know, it's a big accomplishment. Did you ever think we'd make it to 100?
I don't know. When we started out, I'm not sure. I mean, when we started out, we were like, okay, we'll do this for a while. I think we committed to a year or something, didn't we?
Maybe we did. We said we were going to stick it out for a year at least.
Yeah, and so the year came. We're like, all right, let's keep going. But no, I don't know.
Now we're four episodes away from a full 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Did you think we'd hit 100?
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I had hoped we'd make it to 100. I was striving to push it this far and beyond. But I don't know. I'm excited to be here and just super, super happy to be celebrating that we've made it this far together.
Right. And we wouldn't have done 100 if we didn't have amazing listeners who tune in and want to hear what we have to say. And I don't know. So we're excited. Thanks for all our listeners for listening in.
And just, you know, this has been quite the journey for us. If I think back to where we came from, we started this during the pandemic when we were in lockdown, unable to leave our apartment in Singapore. You know, it was certainly different there than here in the U.S. And so we literally could not legally leave our apartment. And so we were stuck inside and we thought, hey, let's use this bad time for good. Maybe we can help some people. Maybe we can meet some people. Maybe we can get to know each other better during this time frame. And, you know, especially given that this was something we'd always had a passion around. We'd always been excited about personal finance.
Who's not excited about personal finance?
I don't know.
You got all the time. Why would you not spend time talking about money?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fun topic, and it's something that, you know, it's something we had struggled with in the past and continue to work on in the present. And so it seemed like a natural fit.
Yeah, we've brought you along, like you said. I mean, we've come a long way, but we're not perfect. We're not, you know, we don't have it all figured out, but we brought you along, and this has just been, it's been fun to talk about a variety of things and get to know each other better and hopefully get people talking about money and their personal finances.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and before we get into our episode here a little bit on spender and saver and some of those differences or what we've learned from each other, I think it's key to call out that we're anticipating a few changes here in the show now. So, Heather, we've been doing the show now. We're on our 100th episode. Feels like the right time to make some adjustments. And one of the adjustments that we've been noticing here is that we've been undergoing a ton of life changes with the move back from Singapore to the U.S., with you recently taking on a job. I don't know that we've talked about that here or not, but Heather recently took on a new expanded role in her job. More travel, more longer hours. It's been a lot, big commitment for her. And then this podcast obviously takes a lot of time. I mean, podcasts, as you know, I mean, the number one reason people don't stick with podcasts, I would say, is because they're a big time commitment.
Yeah. And I mean, we really enjoy doing it, but it does take a lot of time. And we want to make sure that we're bringing good content. We're not just slapping things together. And so we want to make sure that, you know, when we do this, that we put out a quality show.
We sure do. And to that respect, we've determined that we need to have a little bit of a break from the podcast. So we're going to be taking the rest of the summer off. And then we're figuring out when, how much is the right amount to come back to? When will we come back? So at this point, we don't have a date. We're not saying, okay, this is the date that we're going to be coming back, but we are saying we're going to step away for a little bit, kind of let life settle down. There's really nothing else going on. There isn't a bigger story to this other than David and Heather need some time away, because this is one of the balls as you're juggling. We're all juggling balls in life, and this is the one that needs to drop, unfortunately, in order to keep the others in the air.
That's right. But we really appreciate all of you tuning in and listening and your continued support. And yeah, I have a feeling you haven't heard The Last of Us for a while.
I sure hope not. I sure hope not, Heather. All right. Well, let's get into today's episode, because I am pumped up to talk about it. As you said, you were even more ecstatic to get into this.
I know. Very excited. So we thought we'd kick it off today with a little game. We've done a few games in the past, but we haven't done one in a while. So
it's time.
We thought we would do a little spender saver game. So myself being the spender expert and David being the saver expert, we thought we'd throw some questions out there around our areas of expertise to see how well or how little or how much the other knows about these areas.
And we're going to be doing four questions each. Is that right?
That's right.
And what does the winner get?
Bragging rights.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe the saver could get to save a little extra or something, but okay. All right.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I can lead. I can lead with my question first.
I'm nervous.
Okay. You should be.
Oh, gosh.
So, first saver question.
These are going to be hard. I feel like yours are going to be really hard.
They're going to be brutally difficult.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But I've made them multiple choice.
Oh, nice.
Okay. All of mine are multiple choice.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, you have a shot at this.
Okay.
So, one way people can save extra money, and one way people do save extra money, as you probably know, is to sell things that might otherwise be thrown away. And they sell those things on eBay. Mm-hmm. These would be things like, I don't know.
Like a DeLorean?
No. Used where we toilet paper DeLorean. Rolls. Okay. So you might not realize this. I don't know. But people sell toilet paper rolls, empty toilet paper rolls on eBay.
Wow.
For craft projects and such. And here we are throwing them away like they're just trash.
No way.
I know. So this is what I'm saying. So this is an opportunity to save money. Looking at recently completed eBay listings... What do you think is a common price to pay for 30 empty toilet paper rolls? $3?
Okay.
$7?
Okay.
$12?
Okay.
Or $15? How much?
$3. This has got to be. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm surprised that anybody would pay anything for that. So I'm going to go with $3. Really?
Sorry.
Holy moly, I got to go dig some out of the trash right now.
The correct answer is $7. Now, granted, I found some that were a little bit less. I found some that were a lot more. But right around $7 seemed to be the average for about 30.
I'm surprised you don't make us keep those and sell them.
I should. I didn't realize this was a thing, but now I want to.
Got it. Okay, my turn. Which of the following, this is a multiple choice, not all of mine are, but this first one is. Which of the following is not a luxury brand?
Oh, okay.
A, Patek Philippe. B, Christian Louis Vuitton. C, Saint Laurent. Or D, Scarpetta.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. This is actually hard. It's either C or D, I think. I'm going to go with D, Scarparella, whatever that was.
Scarpetta. You are correct.
Am I really?
That's actually a cheap Italian wine that I found, but it's, yeah.
Oh, it's an actual brand. Okay.
Well, yeah. Wow. I was going to make something up.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm kind of shocked that I got that, because that was a guess.
That's impressive. I guess you've been hanging out with the spender.
All right, question number two. If you had $1 million, if you saved up $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
And you had it exclusively in $100 bills. So 10,000 $100 bills.
Okay.
$1 million cash.
Okay.
How much would that weigh?
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Now you've held. You've
I've held a thousand.
Have you held a $100 bill?
I have held 100 and I've held 10. So I know what the feel of 1,000 feels
like. Okay, now just multiply 1,000 by 100.
Wow.
And how much would that be?
So I'm going to go. Multiple choice.
I'm doing multiple choice for everything.
That's right.
I'm making this easy on
you. Okay, okay.
So 7 pounds, 22 pounds, 37 pounds. Or 52 pounds?
I'm going to go 22 pounds.
Ding, ding, ding. You really? Are right. It's 22 pounds.
Wow.
Well done.
That's nice.
Well done. And the other thing that I found when researching this is $1 million in cash is not that big. You can fit it in a bag that's about, 7 inches by 6 inches by 20 inches.
Wow.
In size.
That's impressive. I guess I didn't thought about it. It's funny. Remember when I was losing weight and you'd say a 20 pounds was like a tire and you were like, you lost a tire. You could have said, you lost the weight of
you lost $1 million. That's a good point. Yes.
Not that I want to lose $1 million.
No, you kind of want to gain $1 million. Well, maybe that's what we'll say when you put on weight.
Oh.
If you put on 20 pounds, I'll say, you look like $1 million. You put on 20 pounds.
Okay, next question.
Okay.
Okay, this isn't a multiple choice, but there's only two choices. So, which holiday do consumers spend more on? Mother's Day or Valentine's Day?
Oh, wow.
Now, this is kind of an old research article that I found, so it might be different, but.
Wow. I know the right answer would be Valentine's Day, which makes me think that the wrong answer is probably the one that's true. I'm going to say Mother's Day.
You're right.
Wow.
They're pretty close, but the data shows that more is spent on Mother's Day.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say Father's Day versus Mother's Day because there's a lot more spent on Mother's Day than Father's Day for you fathers out there. Sorry about that.
Fathers are getting jilted on this one. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Next saving question. Let's say you saved $2,000, okay, which equates to about, if you were setting aside $5.50 a day, not a ton of money, right? Probably. A lot of people spend that much on coffee every day. $5.50 a day or $2,000 in the year of 2002. You invested that money.
Okay.
How much money would you have today?
Ooh, 20 years later?
20 years later. So this is...
Can I use a calculator? Just kidding.
I'm multiple choice because I'm that kind of a guy. Would you have $1,200, $3,200, $5,200, or $6,200?
I'm going to go $5,200.
It's a good guess, but it's wrong. It's $6,200.
Wow.
Now, to be fair,
there was a lot of information you didn't provide. Like,
it's 2002, coming right off of the 2001 recession, and so prices were low. But even still, like, I feel like that's a pretty good argument for why you need to invest and why avoiding that coffee that is and just investing that money instead is a better way to go.
Wow.
That's quite an...
That's a lot.
That's a lot
that's
of
impressive.
Money. That beats inflation right there.
Wow. That's awesome. Now let's go spend that $6,200 with our next question.
Okay. What's our next question?
Okay. This one is a ranking in order. Rank in order of most expensive to least expensive these brands.
This sounds hard.
Brand number one, A Brand New Day.
What,
two.
What? That's a brand?
It is. It is. Two, Gucci. Three, Coach. Four, Hermes.
Oh, man.
From most expensive to least.
Okay. I'm going to go Hermes.
Okay.
At the top. I'm going to go Gucci.
Okay.
Below that, I'll go... What are the two I haven't mentioned?
A Brand New Day and Coach.
I'll go Coach and then A Brand New Day, because I have no idea what A Brand New Day is. But
that is a brand at Target, which you don't ever shop at. Everybody out there is going, how does he not know that brand?
I never, like, literally never shop at Target. I cannot even tell you the last time I went to Target, but no doubt you were there, Heather. Wow. Okay. Wow.
So far, you're doing really great. You've gotten all three questions of mine right, and I've only gotten
one right.
Oh,
but
gosh.
I don't know. Maybe my multiple choice are too hard. I don't know.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Okay.
Last question. Here we go.
Last question, Heather. Let's say you on average, spend about $2 per day on lunch.
Okay.
I don't know.
What year?
Is that high? That's probably low.
That seems a little low.
Okay. So that's cheap for lunch.
Okay. But you're spending $2.
Let's just assume this is going to be an even better example if I had bumped this up, but let's say today you're spending $2 a day on lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But instead now you're replacing your current lunch with not one, but two packages of ramen noodles. Because you're extra hungry. One package isn't going to cut it.
Okay.
How much extra money are you going to save every month by just replacing your lunch with ramen noodles?
You're going to save money?
You're eating. Yes. You're going. You started all the way up at $2.
Right.
And now you're coming down to the cost of two ramen packets.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know how much a ramen packet costs?
I have no idea. Okay. Let's hear my options.
Okay. Option one, you're saving $45 a month.
Oh, a month. We got to do this in months? So is that assuming 30? Is it a 30-day month?
This is a 30-day month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So first I have to do the math to $60. Okay.
So $45 a month.
Okay.
$75 a month. $85 a month. Or $105 a month.
That doesn't even make sense. $2 a day, you're only spending $30 most. So how can you save $100? I'm going to go with the first option.
$45 a month.
Yes.
That's correct. I know. I kind of made that one easy for you.
The math just didn't check out there.
The math doesn't check out.
You tried to get someone who's certified in counting.
I know.
To not understand a math
question. That's $504 a year.
Wow.
That you're saving. And that's so then if you're spending $3 or $4 on lunch every day, that's big time money you're saving.
So when you went grocery shopping this weekend, did you just buy all ramen? Did you assume we're gonna eat ramen every day for lunch?
Well, I haven't checked the cupboard. But after running the math, that's a pretty easy way to save some extra cash.
Way to go. Good tip out there for those. Okay.
All right.
My last question. When was the first modern shopping mall built and where?
Oh, I know the where. It was here in Minnesota.
What, do you know where? That's right. Do you know where, though?
It was, gosh, it's...
That's okay.
I do know it. Like, I'm blanking on it now.
Okay. Well, when?
When? 1965?
Ooh, you got it switched up. 56.
56.
I didn't know that. Edina, Minnesota.
Edina,
Southdale. The closest mall to us. That's where I go today to buy my makeup. I didn't know that was the first mall.
Because it's so cold here.
That's crazy.
It's so cold. You got to shop indoors.
Wow.
Yes.
You knew that and I didn't.
Oh,
well
yeah.
Done. I'm giving it to you. You got all of them right.
Oh, man. Well,
you really are a spender.
I am not a spender. You did quite well also. And you got...
Not really.
Well, you got half of them right.
50%. That's still failing.
You got half of them. You got to work on your saving capability. But
Obviously, I need to learn a little bit more about saving. So we thought in this next section, we'd maybe give some tips or advice for spending and saving. So I'm going to kick it off with spending advice. And feel free, David, since you obviously are an expert spender, to jump in here. But tip number one I'm going to say is don't spend more than you have. And I think I said this on a recent episode. And it sounds so simple and it's like, duh. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't do this, which gets you in a lot of trouble. So even though you like spending, don't spend more than you have.
Oh, yeah. I think that's number one. That's number one. That helps you save. If you're spending less than you have, you can save with that too. Don't go into debt. This is basically the don't go into debt advice. And I couldn't agree with that more. Right. I hate debt.
Number two, track your spending. Know where your money is going. Now, I didn't say do a budget.
Budget.
I have a budget. A budget is a great cool tool, and it doesn't even need to be complex. But even if you don't have a formal budget, you need to understand where your money's going, understand how much you're spending. It's really going to help you get ahead.
Okay. I am a fan of budgeting. Know where that money's going.
Can you believe my advice had the word potentially budget?
Well, you know what's in a budget? A savings line item. And I love that. And so, yeah, you talk about budgeting all you want in your spending section here.
So third piece of advice. I want you to spend intentionally. Stop and think before you make a big purchase. Don't ever make a spur of the moment spending decision, especially on big things, but even on smaller things. You really want to be intentional with what you spend your money on. So I'm not saying don't spend. I'm not telling you not to spend. I'm just telling you, if you're going to spend, make sure you're spending where you want to. Don't get off track of your goals.
Yeah. And I would just also add, if you need to make if you're going off plan with a spending decision, stop and think about it. Maybe even talk it over with your spouse if it's a big one. Don't go off the budget without really thinking about it and without being planful and understanding what that impact is. Those last minute decisions will bite you.
Yeah, which leads in nicely to my fourth piece of advice, which is you need to talk to your spouse. Like David said, figure out with your spouse how you're going to manage your spending in your marriage. So figure out, are you going to keep your spending completely separate? Are you going to have special guidelines? Are you going to say, hey, over so much, over $100, we have to tell each other? Are you going to have allowances? But figure out how you and your spouse are going to manage your spending in your marriage to eliminate or at least reduce arguments over spending.
Yes. The questions, just having those conversations, asking each other questions about how you want to approach things, aligning on what your approach is to your finances is so critical. Opening up those lines of communication is I want to put that right up there with number one of not spending more than you have, because those two together, you got to talk to your spouse. You got to.
Right. And last piece of advice I would say is understand each other's values and compromise on where you're going to spend money. What I mean by that is, we've talked a lot about, you put your money where your values are. And so one of you may value things, stuff, toys, and one of you may value more experiences or trips or eating out. And so make sure you understand what you and your spouse value and come to an agreement on compromising where you're going to spend your money. Or maybe you're aligned. Hopefully you are. That makes it even easier.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you could align on my side, Heather, and you could just become more of a saver, and then we don't have to worry about it. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Oh, perfect. All right. So, yeah, the great tips on spending and getting aligned and making some wise spending decisions. Now I think we should jump into some savings advice.
Sure.
And thoughts.
Sure.
So, just as a reminder, as a saver, I would say save as soon as possible, as early as you can. And it's never too late to start saving. The right time to start saving was yesterday. So today is the second best time to start saving. And the reason for that is compounding interest is magical. And make your money work for you. And you can't do that unless you're saving your money.
Yeah, it's amazing what that time value of money can really do for you. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, I mean, both of us really started saving early, but not enough. But at least we had, you know, knew that it was important, and we're taught at a young age. It's really important.
Completely agree. Yeah, you can't save early enough. And when you're saving, save consistently. So don't just say, oh yeah, I saved my my that amount of money that I wanted to save last month, so I'm good for the next few months. No, save something every month. Be consistent, even if it's small. Just always be adding to that pile. Always be saving.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of goes back to my advice on kind of tracking your spending, right? Like, if you have a budget or some way you're tracking it, then you know you're doing it every month. And that really helps, because if you say, oh, I'm going to put off or I'm not going to do it, you'll probably realize you're not saving as much as you can. So if you just do it consistent, we've had tools on just having it automatically go out, pay yourself first. Like, those are good habits, just get in and do it, like you said, consistently.
Oh, yeah. I love the pay yourself first. You don't even miss it once you realize, once it's part of your budget, once it's there. Third, I would say, don't just save, but invest what you save. That is where you really grow your savings, and that savings becomes wealth. And invest. That's what you got to do. You got to continue to grow that.
You're right. We often talk about spending versus saving, but what we really mean by saving is investing. Because if you just put it under your bed, it's not going to grow. It's actually going to shrink, right? And so, yeah.
Or even if you put it in your savings account, it's going to shrink.
Right. Yeah. So when we talk about saving, we really do mean investing.
And then fourth, I would say save with purpose. So you can't, if you're saving for savings' sake, you're not going to save, or you're going to lose motivation, or you're going to save with no end in sight, and you're just saving out of fear. No, you need to save to meet a goal, to reach a goal, to have a purpose for it. And those goals are motivating to keep you on the path of saving. They're motivating for you and your spouse to have something to work against. That is what you need to be saving for, is those goals.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about goals and how that really sets up what you're doing and why you're doing it. So, agree.
And then finally, fifth, save money with the right tool for the right purpose. And what that means is, you know, we talked about saving early, saving with investing, but if you're saving for a goal of retirement, you may want to set up a formal retirement account. If you're saving with a goal of funding your college the college education for your kids, you might want to set up a proper college fund. If you are saving for an emergency fund, then you probably want that in some type of a cash account. So make sure you have your saving in the right account and using the right tool at the right time for the right purpose.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like anything in life, right? You got a toolkit and you use different tools for different things. Same thing with your money. There's different ways and places to invest that cash and or that money for different purposes. So use the right tool for the right purpose, like you said.
Awesome.
Good advice.
Awesome.
Wow.
Good summary. Wow.
You're an incredible saver.
Way us. Way to go, us, Heather. Oh, man. We're just patting ourselves on the back hardcore over here, aren't we? It's kind of disgusting. No, but yeah, good conversation. Speaking of conversation, before we close out, Heather, I want to just touch on one more thing that I think is so critical. You mentioned it earlier in your spending piece, and that was the importance of communication and making sure you and your spouse are aligned. This is so important, and I know we've stressed this on so many episodes, but I want to come back to it again, because this is really how you have a happy marriage and how you have success with your finances, and that's communication with your spouse about your finances.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much there hasn't been a single episode where this has not come up. Maybe there's a few, but I mean, pretty much every episode we talk about the importance of communication. And I mean, we always end our episode with a topic question for people to talk about, right? Because it's so important to be talking with your spouse about money.
Yeah, and it's important enough that I would say you need to make time for it if you don't have time for it. You made time to listen to this podcast today, so take that same level of effort, or really take more effort, to make time to speak with your spouse. Make that conversation a part of your routine. If that's weekly or monthly or whatever the right cadence is for you, make sure that's a part of your routine. And when you're having that conversation, make sure you're having that conversation with love and care for your spouse. It should never be a conversation that's accusatory. It should never be confrontational. It should be let's work through, if we're having problems with our finances, let's work through those problems together and solution them. And it's not the spouse that's the problem. It's the financial obstacles that we need to overcome together that are the problem. And so you got this. You got this, people.
Great advice. Great advice.
All right. Well, Heather, since you were so kind as to kick us off today, and since we're kind of apparently doing backwards day to day in this wacky, wild 100th episode, I'm going to wrap us up with a question for the audience.
Oh, really?
That's right. So, audience, we want you to continue this conversation with your spouse or significant other. When was the last time you had a formal conversation about your finances? If it's been a while, sit down and in sometime in the next week with your spouse and walk through your finances, maybe even start that budget you've been putting off.
Oh, I know. That's a challenge.
Get it out there. Hey, if I get to assign the homework, I'm throwing the budget in there. So, Heather.
Yes, David.
We are now 100 episodes in. What are some of the benefits you've seen from talking about money even more now with this podcast than we had previous to this podcast?
Good point. I mean, I felt like we talked about money a lot, but obviously we've been talking about it a lot more. I think a few things. Number one, it sparked some really good discussions for us. I feel like we've gone deeper on some topics than maybe we wouldn't have for preparing for this. And so in different topics and conversations. So I feel like it's just gotten us more frequent, but then also, you know, deeper conversations. Number two, we've met a lot of cool people we've learned a bunch from. So I feel like that's been really awesome to talk about after we've met them or we hear different concepts to talk through that we probably wouldn't have been exposed to or seen that, right? And then third, I think it's really reinforced what we were already doing. You know, I feel like it's also made us better at it. Like, I feel like our monthly budget conversations, I feel like they're quicker, they're faster, they're easier than before because I think we're just talking more frequently and we're more aligned because of that communication. And so I feel like it's taken a lot, you know, a lot of the challenges out of the conversations.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
How about, sorry, I missed my cue there. How about you, David? What benefits have you seen?
Oh, how kind of you to ask, Heather. Thank you so much for asking. Well, actually, I had quite a few of the same. I had a lot of the same thoughts you did, probably unsurprisingly.
See, it's going second, right?
It kind of does, but I'll add to that a little bit. So one practical thing that that we added was the mid-year check-in was something that explicitly came out of this podcast that I got a lot of value from. It helped me understand how we're tracking against the year. It helped me understand where the gaps are or where they aren't. And in this case, I was able to, like we talked about in our mid-year check-in episode, I was able to identify why we were behind in our savings this year. And that was so helpful for me. I think this has also helped me understand things more from your perspective. And I had an idea. I felt like I had a pretty good handle on where you were coming from before we did this podcast. But it's helped me to see things through your eyes as we've had more in-depth conversations about budgeting, about debt, about all these emergency funds, about all these different topics. That has been so fantastic. And then I just want to maybe reiterate what you were saying around us working together and having some good conversations. I think it's helped us focus on our goals more. Every time we discuss a topic, it reminds us about that topic and why we're approaching our goals the way we are. And I feel like it's helped us refocus. So I don't know. Anyway, thank you for those discussions.
Great
I think
ideas.
It's made things a lot yeah. easier.
No, I think it's overall been very positive, right?
That's right.
Well, that about wraps up our conversation for today. Remember, you can always email us at marriageandmoneypodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram at marriage.and.money. Thanks again for joining us this week. And remember that whether you're a spender or a saver, your best financial life lies somewhere in the middle. You have no idea how many times I have said this in my head and not been able to say it on the podcast. I felt really good.
Well done.